Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Charles, for leading us this morning. Guys, it's a pleasure to gather together and to make much of Jesus and open his word together, isn't it? Today, one of the things we're going to talk about is priorities. According to God's word, being together, encouraging one another, growing together, they are priorities in the life of a Jesus follower. We're not to neglect those things, the Bible says. And so I want to tell you, thank you for being here today and making it a priority. Thanks for those that are online for making it a priority as well. Last week, we began a very important series focusing on prayer and our prayer life. And our aim, church, is that each and every week, each and every one of us would grow, right? Whether it's a little bit, whether it's a whole lot, man, we want to grow in our prayer life each and every week, and that our church, Authentic Life Church, would continue to grow to be a praying church. We don't want to be a church that prays. We want to be a praying church, a church that seeks God before we do anything. Last week, we began our prayer series by focusing on Matthew chapter 6. And if you're new here, just so you know, normally we walk through a book of the Bible verse by verse and kind of just exegete that and walk through that and figure out how do we apply what God's word is saying. We're in a prayer series where we're going to be looking at text and walking through those texts, really verse by verse of what we're looking at, but we're focusing on prayer today. Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gave us what we often call the Lord's Prayer, right? But Jesus is, it's probably better known as, better said, as a model prayer. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And so what happened is the disciples, these 12 people are with Jesus, they're serving with Jesus, and they see Jesus pray. And they knew for him that it was real, right? It was important, and they knew it was personal for Jesus when he prayed. And so they come to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And you know, the good news is Jesus says, hey, I'm gonna teach you how to pray. When you pray, pray in this way. And we saw five big takeaways from that passage. And the first one is this: when you pray, it's about a personal relationship. Right? God says, or Jesus says, we're to pray to our Father who is in heaven, right? He is our Father. He loves us, right? And we're praying in regarding that personal relationship. We saw that when we pray, it's about reverence and it's about worship, right? Because we're praying, Jesus says, pray, hallowed be your name, right? Just the name of Jesus is holy. Right? The name of God is holy. We are praying to the Creator and the Holy Mighty One who is above all. Third, we saw that prayer is about our surrender. We're really good about going to God and asking him for things, but it's about surrender. We're praying that his kingdom would come and his will would be done before ours. And then we saw that prayer is about taking our requests to God. Church, let me say this. God loves to hear our requests. He wants us to go to him for things. And we need to recognize that when we're praying that we are dependent on him. He is our provider. And last is this: prayer is about faithfulness. While we're expressing to God, God, help us walk with you, help us flee from sin and evil. If you missed any of that, I'd encourage you to jump online and listen to the sermon on our website. But now that we've seen how Jesus teaches us to pray, today our goal is to know that our prayer life is to be a priority, right? So be a priority in our life. Right? I'm going to get a big amen on this. There are a lot of things that pull at us each and every day. Amen, church? Right, there's a lot of things that pull at us. We are busy people. Some of the busy is good and needed, right? But if we're honest, some of it's not, right? Some of it is not necessary. It's not needed, but we are busy. And so in our busyness, we have to decide what is going to be a priority in our life and what is not. I remember Jessica and I, years ago, we decided, I think it was right before we moved here, we decided to really evaluate everything off our life out of our priority. Right? For me, it's Jesus and Jessica, right? Everything else comes after that. Sorry, church, but my wife, Jesus, come before you. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything in our life has to be prioritized. And so as Christians, what does God say should be a priority in your life, in my life, as Christians, as a church? The Bible helps us answer that, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 17. God's word says this. It says, Christians, rejoice always. Pray constantly or pray without ceasing and give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 17. It says, pray constantly or pray without ceasing. Why? Because that's God's will for your life. right? So that must be a priority in our life. If God says, hey, man, Jessica, this is my will for your life, we should do it. Amen? Right? And we see it throughout Scripture. Ephesians 6 says, pray at all times. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. And we could go on and on and on, and the Bible is clear. Prayer is to be a top priority in our life. And here's the thing, if prayer is not a priority in your life, I'm just going to say this morning under the authority of God's word, there's some realigning that needs to happen in your life, right? My life too, I was praying this morning, God, what needs to change in my life to grow in my prayer life? Part of our walk with Jesus, part of our relationship with God is to seek him in prayer constantly, consistently, and regularly. And the disciples, they saw that in Jesus, right? He was living that out. Before he began his his ministry, right? Before he started that, he spent time with his Father in prayer. Before he chose the 12 disciples, the Bible says he spent all night with the Father in prayer. And then you go to the end of his life. Before he was arrested and gave his life on the cross, Jesus went to the garden and prayed to the Father, right? He prayed. It was a priority for him. I love what Luke 5:16 says, because as Christians, we're to be Jesus followers, right? That's who we are. And here's what it says about Jesus. It says, but Jesus, in Luke 5:16, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Church, as we grow in our walk with Jesus, as we follow him, we have to look at Jesus' life, see what he did so that we can imitate it. Jesus was fully God, church. Don't downplay that. But he was also at the same time fully man, and he needed to be with his Father in prayer. So I think it's fair to say that if it was a priority for Jesus, it needs to be a priority for you and me and our church. But if we're honest, when we think about prayer, too often we look at prayer as inconvenience. Let's just own it, right? We're busy, God. I know I'm supposed to be talking to you, but we're busy. I've got a lot going on. You put a lot on my plate, God, right? It's not always convenient just to stop and pray. Sometimes we look at prayer as intimidating. We see others pray with these fancy words, and it almost sounds like they're closer to God by how they pray, right? I remember when I was younger, really learning and growing in my walk with Christ, and there was this man at our church, and I'm not picking on him or making fun of him, but he would just talk normal, right? And then when he prayed, it sounded like he was the King James translation, right? I mean, something just changed in him when he prayed, and it intimidated me. You know, they would say, hey, Jeff, you want to pray? Not after him, right? Or maybe we just were intimidated because we just don't know what to say. And so we think of prayer, instead of being personal conversation and a reverent conversation with God, we're intimidated. Or maybe we think that prayer is insignificant. Or maybe you would say insufficient or ineffective. You might think, man, it doesn't really matter if we pray. God isn't really listening. God doesn't really care. It's not going to change anything. But church, as we follow Christ, we can know that that's not true, because Jesus is not going to do anything that's insignificant or ineffective. Are you with me, church? Jesus prayed. Right? Look at the whole book of Acts. As a church planter, I love the book of Acts, man. Right? And every single time God moved in big ways, the church had been praying. God hears our prayers. Church, since the Lord is leading us to pray, as we walk through this, maybe you could ask God this morning. This is what I would just want to ask you guys. Maybe you guys could have this constant communication with God this morning. God, would you teach me and help me prioritize prayer in my life starting right now? If you would grab your Bibles this morning, if you need one, there's some on that back table back there, but we're going to be in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and go ahead and grab and open your Bibles and turn there with me. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and we're going to walk through that passage, and we're going to look at a moment in Jesus' life toward the beginning of his earthly ministry, and we're going to see five takeaways about prayer and it being a priority in our life. You guys ready to dive in? If you're ready to dive in, say amen. Amen. All right, so let's join me in Mark chapter 1. Stand. And so we honor God and his word, and read this with me. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Here's what God's word says about Jesus. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and prayed there for a time. Simon Peter, and his companions eagerly searched for Jesus. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus said to them, "Let's go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may also preach there, for this is why I came." And he went into their synagogue, preaching throughout Galilee and casting out the demons. Let's pray, church. Father, we've sought you a lot in prayer this morning, and that's a good thing. God, we pray, Lord, today that you would be glorified with everything that comes out of my lips. God, we pray, Lord, that what is heard today would be honoring to you. And God, that we would all have submissive ears and hearts and that we would respond. God, we can't do life without you. We need to seek you. And so God, teach us that today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When we study scripture, context is always important. Sometimes you have people that just grab a verse and they're like, hey, this is what I want to make this verse mean, and we try to not do that here. So I want to give you a little bit of context, bless you, about what Jesus is doing leading up to this moment in Jesus's life. In Mark chapter 1, we are seeing the beginning of Jesus's earthly ministry. So he begins, he comes on the scene, he's baptized by John the Baptist, kind of in starting that ministry. He's sent out into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And then Jesus comes into Galilee ready to get started. So this is all on his first day is where we are at this point. And what we see next in Mark is that Jesus begins to call his disciples to follow him. This is that famous moment where I really learned one of my favorite stories in the Bible, where Jesus comes up to these fishermen. They're just out doing their job, right? They're mending nets, they're fishing, they're hanging out with family, cleaning up stuff, they're fishing, and Jesus says to them, hey men, follow me. Come and follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Instead of you fishing for fish, which is nothing wrong with that, but hey, come and be with me, and we're going to call people to Jesus. Amen? Right? And so that's what they're doing. And so what do? They leave everything behind, and they begin following Jesus and serving him. I just got a yep from my son. I'm on the right page, guys. We're doing good. And then big things begin to happen. In his first full day of ministry, Jesus begins to teach, and the Bible says that he teaches with authority. Church, why is that a big deal? Because right after that, it said they had never seen anyone preach or teach like this, right? They had never seen that before, and so he's doing that. And then we see while he's preaching and teaching, some guy gets up and starts acting crazy, and Jesus casts a demon out of that man. So now they're seeing him preach with authority. He has authority over demonic, and then right away, news starts spreading. We see that happening. We're going to tell people, amen, right? And so news starts spreading about Jesus. People begin to gather. They want to see him. They want to hear him teach and preach. They want to see the power that he has. And so very quickly, on day one of his earthly ministry, things get busy for Jesus. The disciples and Jesus, they take a little break, and they go to Peter's house to have a meal. And Jesus is still busy there. Why? Because Peter's mom-in-law is very ill, and so he heals her. And I love what it says there in Mark. It says that he heals her, and then she starts serving them. Like, I'm like, hey, you go wash up first, right? I don't know what you had, but you with me, church? But she starts serving, and then we come to verses leading up to our text today. Verse 32. Now when the evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to Jesus all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. Church, listen to this. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Church, let's talk about us for a second. We have very busy lives. Right? The number one answer, sociologists tell you, the number one answer to how you doing, it's no longer good, it's I'm busy. Right? We're busy people with lots of important things going on. And Jesus in this moment, I think we could all agree that he was busy with important stuff. Just in a few hours of time, that the word has spread, and now there's this huge gathering of people with real needs at the front door. People are coming to him. They want to hear from him. They want to see him. They want him to heal them and provide for them. And so Jesus is out there doing all these things, and he's serving. He's still fully God, right? He never set that aside, but he's fully man. So guess what? He's tired. I preach for 40 minutes, and I go home tired, right? Think about Jesus, man. He's tired. I work more than 40 minutes. I just want you guys to know that. Just so we're on the same page, right? But I've had many conversations with people in this room that have busy lives. Amen, church, right? Full of tasks and things that are important. And you're tired. We've all been there. And we see from this passage that Jesus gets it. We can relate with Jesus. He understands the schedules, right? He understands the stresses. He understands the stresses of people pulling at him. He understands the important tasks that have to happen. But in the midst of all of it, Jesus teaches us the importance of prayer. Look with me to verse 35. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and prayed there for a time. We have times in our lives and seasons where we are more busy than at other times. We have seasons where our plates are full. But I would guess that this was somewhat of a typical day for Jesus. I mean, think about this. Every day for 3 or so years, this is what Jesus is doing. All good work, all work that honored God. And I would say that Jesus deserved a good night's sleep. But what we see in verse 35 is that in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went away to pray. So what are these 5 things that we can learn about prayer being a priority? I think the first thing that we learned from Jesus about prayer from this text is this, church: sacrificial prayer is necessary. Sacrificial prayer is necessary, meaning sometimes we have to make sacrifices so that we can pray. When we hear the word sacrifice, we automatically put this wall up, don't we? Man, a lot of times, just me, Charles, I'm the only one that puts the wall up. But we don't like that word, right? We don't like the word because when we sacrifice, it means we have to give up something, right? We don't like that word. Some sacrifices really aren't that big of a deal. I remember 2012, 13, just 12, we knew that God was calling us to Tucson, right? We wanted to come out of here basically debt-free. We didn't want to have like a lot of financial stuff. So what do? We made some sacrifices. We got rid of cable. We stopped eating out so much. We stopped spending money on unnecessary things so other things could be paid off. Are you with me, church? Now, we look at that. You'd say, hey, you know, get rid of cable. That's a big sacrifice. But it's really not that big of a sacrifice when you think about it. But there were also big sacrifices. We loved Kansas City. We loved the church that I was pastoring at. We loved our friends that were there. We loved the family that was there. Jessica and I, you guys have heard this before. Jessica and I's second date was at a family birthday party with like 60 people there. Like, I got a lot of family in Kansas City. And for us to do what God called us to do, there was a sacrifice. And we trusted God and we moved here, leaving those things behind. That's a big sacrifice. Right? Not patting ourselves on the back, but there's a big sacrifice. There's little sacrifices. We all make those in our lives, sometimes every day. And Jesus, he shows us that prayer is worth the sacrifice. Guys, he was preaching, teaching, healing the sick, casting out demons, serving the needs of all these people. He was tired. He needed rest. But in this moment, he also knew that he needed to be with the Father. He needed to be in prayer. Church, God calls you and me to be in prayer, and he places a high priority on it. Over the NFL game today, over us eating, church, we are called to put that. You got to eat, church. Don't not eat, okay? But it may be like Jesus that sometimes you need to sacrifice sleep so that you could pray. Maybe you need to go to bed later. Maybe you need to get up sooner. It may be that you need to trade in your TV time or your Facebook time or your phone time or whatever it is to be with him in prayer. But sometimes, church, sacrificial prayer is necessary. And I think we've got to pay attention to those moments in our life where God is saying, I know you got a lot of stuff going on. I'm right there with you, right? But you need to be with me. I need you to seek me. I need you to spend time with me in prayer. And in those moments, sometimes we just have to look at our lives and say, man, I got a lot going on, but I need to look and say, okay, I need to set this aside for today, for a week, for a year, whatever it may be, so that I can intentionally be with God in prayer. And church, if your prayer life is struggling, if you're not having that time with God on a regular basis, I would say you need to ask God, where do I need to sacrifice daily? God, what do I need to give up so that I could be with you? Because it's a priority. So Jesus shows us that sacrificing so that we can pray is necessary. He also shows us what this time with God should look like. Look back at verse 35. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and prayed there for a time. Church, when we pray, we're often praying before a meal, right? Before we go to bed, as we're driving or studying or working or going about our day, and we should do that. The Bible says pray at all times, right? So we should have that open door of communication with God at all times. But Jesus is teaching us a different type of prayer here. He shows us two things here in verse 35. He says he got up, he left the house, he went away to a secluded place for a time. And so I think the second thing that we learn from Jesus about prayer is this. Church, we need solitude and an intimate time with God. We need solitude and intimate time with God. Solitude meaning we need to be alone with God. Right? We need to be alone with God. An intimate meaning the close, personal, and relational time. In other words, that dedicated time where it's just you and God together in prayer. Let's look at the examples from Jesus. We saw earlier from Luke that Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. He often did that, church. Luke 6 says he's out there doing a miracle and he's teaching and preaching. And it says that he was with the crowds. He sent the crowds away. He went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Here in our text, Jesus went away to a secluded place and prayed for a time. The word secluded speaks of the solitary, uninhabited place, just Jesus and the Father. Jesus is reminding us here, he's teaching us by his own example that we need that personal time, that intimate time in prayer with God. It is good to pray that constant prayer as you're driving and doing all this other stuff. But Jesus is saying we need to have that personal time one-on-one with him. We are to come together and pray corporately. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. We should have that constant time. But throughout his ministry, Jesus examples this personal one-on-one time with God. Remember what we saw last week, our Father who is in heaven. We're to have that time with our Heavenly Father, that time with the one who created us and loves us and provides for us and sustains us and leads us. This is part of that real and personal relationship that we talk so much about. He's a personal God, church. He's a personal God, and if you're saved today, you're a child of God, and a child needs to talk to his Father. A child needs to talk to his Father. Looking at what Jesus does here, I think we see two ways that we can live this out. Y'all are going to throw things at me. I just need you to know that I've already thrown them at myself. Are you ready? All right. So when we pray, knowing we need that quiet, personal, solitude, intimate time with God, I think, church, we have to try to minimize distractions. I think we got to minimize distractions. We all know how difficult that can be, right? I read a post. I won't tell you who it was, okay? I read a post on social media the other day, and there was a mom that was saying, does anyone else lock themselves in the bathroom just to eat lunch? That's gross, and that's desperate, right? But we all know how hard it is to get that alone time, how hard it is to pray and to remove distractions. I found that when Jessica and I talk, much of it is while we are distracted. Right? While we're multitasking, we're thinking about other things. We're cooking or watching TV or responding to emails. And although we're talking, there are distractions. But our good time of communication with one another is when we are undistracted, when we minimize those distractions. I got to take her out for her birthday, and we just got to talk over dinner. My mother-in-law took care of the kids, and we just got to talk undistracted. And many times we have to sacrifice things to make that happen, don't we? We've got to give something up to make that happen. I think that's what Jesus is doing here. He has the disciples in the house with him, right? And Peter's family. He's got the whole city, the church, the whole city, right? The whole city is out there. They're after him. And so he finds that time, church, early in the morning when no one else is awake, to leave the house, leave that common area, go to a secluded place to be with the Father in prayer. And many of you right now, like me, you're probably thinking, Jeff, that is just not realistic. If Jesus did it, it's realistic. Are you with me, church? Like, it can happen. This personal time with God with minimal distractions where we can hear from him, talk to him, be with him is vital for your relationship with him. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not growing in your walk with Jesus, this may be one of the reasons why. Are you with me, church? It's it. So we got to ask God, God, I'm busy. You put this stuff on my plate. I've added some things to my plate, right? How can this happen? What do I need to give up? The other thing that we see from Jesus is this, is that we need to remove the hurry. We need to remove the hurry, church. I know another point where you just want to throw things at me. You're like, how in the world, Pastor Jeff, are you going to have me remove the hurry? Do you know what my life is like? But church, this is again where sacrifice comes in. Jesus went away to a secluded place. He prayed there for a time. Simon and his companions eagerly searched for him, and they found him and said, everyone is looking for you. Church, Jesus went out very early in the morning and he's praying until everyone wakes up. And then he's still praying while they've got time to form some kind of Baptist committee to have a search committee go out, right? Like, we're really good at that as Christians. We have a committee to form a committee, and then the committee finally meets, and then a committee has to vote on what that committee talked about. Jesus is praying through all of that, church, right? And then they go out, and they look for him, right? And they find him. Jesus knows all that's happening. He's God, by the way, in case you didn't know. Jesus is fully God. He knows they're looking for him. Anybody else drive down the road, and you know you're driving the speed limit, and you're already pressing it a little bit, right? And that person is just right up on your tail. Amen, this is Tucson. That's what happens, right? And you kind of get anxious. You're like, I'm trying to go fast, right? And you get that anxious feeling, that hurried feeling. But Jesus remains unhurried. He remains unhurried. He's not panicking. He doesn't have anxiety. He isn't rushed. He's already sacrificed sleep. In church, he's sacrificing being with his friends and family. He's even sacrificing a chance to build a bigger following. Think about that. More and more people were hearing about Jesus and coming to find him. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus, they said. Anybody ever feel that way? That mom that's in the bathroom eating her lunch is feeling like that. Everyone is looking for you, mom. Right? Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. This was an opportunity for Jesus to go out there and grow his following and expand his ministry. But he wasn't hurried. Now for you, in unhurried and undistracted time, it could be hours. It could be 1 hour. It could be 30 minutes. But for you, maybe when you're not having any one-on-one time, if that's you today and you're saying, man, I'm having very little or no one-on-one time, maybe this is 15 minutes. Maybe it's 5 minutes. Prayer, time with God, is worth the sacrifice, and we need it. And so ask God, what do I need to give up to have that time with you where I remove distractions and remove the hurry so I can be with you? And that leads us to the last thing that we see here in verse 38 through 39. He said to them, let's go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may also preach there, for this is why I came. And then he went and preached throughout Galilee and casted out demons. I find it interesting what Jesus does here. The disciples are saying, Jesus, there's a crowd. People need you. They want to hear from you. They want to be healed by you. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus. But when Jesus is done praying, I need you guys to hear this. When Jesus is done praying, he doesn't let the world dictate what he does next. God the Father dictates what he does next. He gets right back on mission. We get distracted by the world a lot, don't we? The world tries to dictate what we do. Jesus says, hey, it's time to go to the next thing. The day before he begins his ministry, he goes into Galilee. He's teaching with authority about the kingdom of God. He's calling people to turn to God. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. And then after a little bit of sleep, right, he gets back to the source of his strength, church. He prays. He's with the Father, right? And then he says, all right, I'm ready for where God is leading me to next, where the Father's leading me to next. Let's go. This is why I came. This is the mission. To go to the people, to preach, to call people to follow me, to point them to the truth, and eventually to go to the cross. Jesus knew that it was vital that he spend time in prayer so that he could complete and accomplish the mission he came to do. Church, don't miss this. This is an example that we need to follow. Too often we try to serve God without God. Too often we try to do things for God without spending time with God. The goal of us spending time with God is so that his life pours into us, and then when we go and do for God, it's actually his life pouring out of us. And his life cannot pour out of you if you are not with him. That's a good word right there. Amen? If you're trying to follow Jesus, if you're trying to be faithful, if you're trying to be a godly dad or a mom or grandma or grandpa or a godly husband or a wife or a student, if you're trying to tell others about Jesus, if you're trying to give and serve faithfully, if you're trying to do what God has called you to do and use your gifts and talents, and if you're not in prayer, you can't accomplish it. Dads, you want to be godly, spend time with God in prayer. Moms, wives, you want to be godly, spend time with God in prayer. Kids, spend time with God in prayer. Make it a priority right now. Jesus says in John 15:5, he says to us, I'm the vine, you are the branches, right? The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Church, we can do nothing of eternal value apart from time with God. apart from Jesus. And so here's the last example I think we see from Jesus is this. Prayer is essential to live the life of a Jesus follower. Prayer is essential to live the life of a Jesus follower. Church, don't miss this. If you want to walk with Jesus, if you want to grow in your relationship with him, if you want to be used by God, if you want to tell others about Jesus, if you want to serve God in his church, if you want to give financially and be used by God like he wants you to, then you've got to be in prayer. Prayer is not a religious thing to do. It's not. It's not something we do when we have time. Prayer is a must if you want to live the life of a Jesus follower. We've got to make it a priority to pray, church. Decide today. God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to respond. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to change things in my life so that I can spend time with you in prayer. Only you can make that decision, right? I can't make that for you, right? Only you can make that decision. Or you might say, God, today I'm going to struggle with it because I've always struggled with it, and so I'm going to find someone I can be accountable to. I'm going to grab me a Charles or a Don, right? And I'm going to be accountable with them so that we pray together and we grow together. When we see Jesus' life, even though he's the Son of God, during his earthly ministry, he prayed, church. We look at Paul, right? This man was constantly in prayer. Most of us know who Billy Graham is, right? Or was, right? Man, he was a man of God, right? He's known as probably the greatest preacher we've had in years. He was used by God greatly. You know why? He'll tell you why. Because he was a man of prayer. He knew that he was nothing and could do nothing without seeking God. Listen, he says a couple things about prayer. Listen to this quote. He says, if Jesus felt that he had to pray, how much more do we need to pray? He said, true prayer is a way of life, not just for use in case of emergency. Make it a habit, and when the need arises, you're already in practice. Oswald Chambers says this. He says, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Church, we pray for God to move. We pray to be used by God. Prayer is the work. When we look at this church in the New Testament, they seek God, and then they get to see God do big things in and through them. As Christians, as a church family, prayer is not optional. Prayer is essential. It's a priority. No matter where you are in your prayer life, we can always grow. How will you grow this week? Because here's the challenge. We're going to walk out here after we tear down, right? We're going to walk out and say hi to someone you haven't met yet, right? We're going to walk out here, we're going to go to lunch, and we're going to forget. What are you going to do right now so you don't forget? How are you going to grow this week in your prayer life? What changes in your life will you make this week? Because prayer is worth the sacrifice. In thinking about our church, just going to be honest with you, church. Let's have that moment, right? How often do you pray for Authentic Life Church? How often do you pray for how God will use you at Authentic Life Church? How often do you pray for God to be glorified here in this community and for people to know Jesus because of what he's doing in and through Authentic Life Church? How often do you seek God and say, God, how much do you want me to give to the church? How much do you want me to serve at the church? How often do you pray for one another at the church? How often do we pray for this family? It's an essential. It's non-negotiable. Are you with me, church, right? We don't do it, but it's essential. Well, we better do it, right? I mean, we don't always do it. We've got to be a praying church to accomplish God's mission. And so, church, I want to say this. I want to begin by talking about this commitment to joining us in a prayer walk. This isn't just for a few of us. Oh, Jay's really good at praying. I'm going to let him do that. No, no, no. If you know Jesus, man, you need to pray. If you're a part of this church, we need to pray, right? This is for all of us. We're going to talk about that before we leave today, that prayer card. But I want to say this. Maybe you're here for the very first time, and you need to call on God and pray to him for the very first time. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that we are to call on him to save us, that we are to confess Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, right? We don't see in Scripture anything that's called the believer's prayer or anything like that, but that's where they get that from, right? Man, I remember when I trusted in Christ, I prayed, Jesus, will you save me? I want to be a child of God. I want to know you. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to live for you. You are Lord. You are God. You're in charge. I'm not. Would you forgive me? Maybe that's the prayer that you need to have today so that you could walk with God. Let's pray.